Hope. You're with Lori Dubose as we welcome Cliff McCollum with the Baldwin County Legislative Delegation and to our phone line this morning for community contact. Good morning, Cliff.
Good morning, Lori. Sorry I couldn't be there in person this morning. My booster shot, having a few little side effects, so I've been at the house for a little while.
Sorry to hear about that. But your boss men are all in Montgomery, right? They've already met. The Alabama legislature has already gone back in session, right?
Yes, they have. We started back on Tuesday.
And I was thinking
they were
February.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, part of the usual legislative week.
In my mind, they started back in February. Is this a special session or a COVID change or what?
No, this is actually one of those weird Alabama constitutional things where the last year of the four-year cycle, they usually start back a little bit earlier, usually sometime in January, so that they can go ahead and get some business done and get stuff going for the state, because it's an election year this year. So, you know, they've got the primary coming up. They'll have the general in November. So it's gives them a little time to come back and talk about what they've been doing up in Montgomery on everybody's behalf.
Okay. And so what has been happening this week in the session?
There's been a lot of new bills that have been filed, and you know, with some members leaving, especially in the House, you had Connie Rowe, who was in Republican leadership in the House. She resigned and went to go work for Lieutenant Governor Ainsworth. So there's been some moving and shaking around with different positions there with her leaving. And in fact, our own Alan Baker, who is a member of our delegation, represents basically like the eastern half of Baldwin County. Representative Baker was named vice chairman of the Rules Committee, which is a great position to have a member of our delegation in, because the Rules Committee is the committee who decides what bills get voted on when they reach the House floor, you know, decides the order on stuff. So that's a good thing for Baldwin County to have him in that position.
Okay, good.
And Representative Simpson was elected the freshman caucus chairman. You know, he's a freshman representative, so he is now the chair of that caucus of folks. That's a pretty good number of people, and I think that says a lot about him and how hard he's been working up there for us and for the state of Alabama, that his peers decided to elevate him to that position. So this is a very good year for Baldwin County.
All right, and I know it's only been 3 days. Is there any pending bills our guys from Baldwin County are introducing or are championing for?
Well, you know, normally when somebody is retiring, they tend to take it a little easy. You know, they coast into that retirement. And Representative Harry Shiver, he's our North Baldwin representative, Coach Shiver. Everybody knows Coach Shiver, Kevin Bacon of Alabama, can connect to anybody in six moves or less. Coach is carrying, we were counting up yesterday, I think 7 or 8 bills for us this session, including some changes to the way we do the school board district elections. Because as it's currently set up, that Orange Beach Southern Baldwin School District, as it's written right now, the language that created those districts and allows those elections, Gulf Shores is still allowed to vote in those school district elections, even though they have their own city school system now. So they're voting in an election for something that doesn't actually have any power or effect on them.
Right, that's like a housekeeping change that needs to take place.
And it's one of those things that was just an oversight because, you know, it was a county system at the time. Nobody was even thinking of doing city schools back when that was created. So, you know, it's a small change, but it's definitely a change that I think everybody would agree needs to happen. Coach has also got a few more landmark districts He's going to be carrying a Stapleton and White House fork, and there's another one that's it's on the tip of my tongue, Lori, but it's early in the morning, and you know how my brain don't work right early in the morning.
And is this silver similar to the Barnwell Landmark District that would prevent annexation into the city? How does that work?
Okay, well, it would prevent legislative annexation into whatever municipality might be coming for those areas. With Stapleton, you know, you got Loxley in the south, Baymanette in the north of them. White House Fork, it's pretty much just Baymanette, because I don't think Spanish Fork stretches up quite that far up there. But, so, legislative annexation is when there's not a contiguous piece of city property that's next to it. So contiguous annexation, if somebody's right next to the city limits and they want to come in, they can still do that. If there's an election held, like let's say a subdivision or a neighborhood wanted to come into the city, they could have an election there and do it that way. But legislative annexation would be barred through this creation of this landmark district. It started up in Stockton. There's one out in Barnwell now as well. And it's interesting. I used to think Baldwin County was the only county that actually had these landmark districts, but Representative Baker and I were on the phone last week. It corrected me. There's actually one up in Escambia County, the historic Canoe Landmark District.
Okay. All right. What else we got going on?
Let's see. We've got a few more things. Some changes to the law library bill to allow for retirement costs and stuff for the employees there. Again, that was one of those oversight things, just cleaning up a little language there. And there's one or two more. But again, my brain's not quite there. I'm sure it'll come to me, and when we're talking, I'll come back to it. You know, my brain is like a Rube Goldberg device.
You have booster brain.
You know, it could be entirely possible.
Yes,
let's be
that's
honest,
exactly
Lori,
what it is.
I was a little foggy even before all this COVID stuff started, so I don't want to blame it on the good people at Pfizer.
Yeah, okay, I'll let that one pass. And let's move on. What about a lottery bill? I just saw a TV commercial this morning. Some group is pushing for let Alabamians vote on a lottery. Do we have a lottery bill coming back up?
There's probably going to be several lottery bills, as there are every session. In fact, our own Senator Albritton, who's our senior senator for Baldwin County, Senator Albritton, I believe, is going to have a lottery bill. And I think his is going to be a more comprehensive one. You know, it still comes back to the same issues we really see every year with this lottery stuff, Lori. And I think, you know, you look at the polls, majority in Alabama all agree paper lottery's fine, right? The problem is, if you just do a paper lottery, it, because of federal law and tribal law and all that, it would kick it up to where the Porch Creek tribe would be able to do table gaming. And they would then have a monopoly on table gaming in the state of Alabama. And there are other facilities elsewhere in the state, your Mobile Dog Track or Victory Land up in Macon County up near where I'm from, Green Track in Greene County up there a little further north. And it certainly complicates the issue. Because, you know, those facilities would want to be able to do that.
Why would this be an exclusive, table games be an exclusive monopoly for the casino, for the tribal nation?
Because when you do a paper lottery, because of how federal and tribal law works, when states do the paper lottery, it would kick those facilities up to be able to do the table gaming. It really has nothing to do with state law at all. That's federal and tribal getting triggered because of a state action.
So how does Mississippi get away with it then?
they have their own special laws about stuff. I mean, they can do you can do table gaming as a state on your own, but if we just did a paper lottery, somehow the federal thing kicks in a table gaming thing for the federally recognized tribal facilities.
Why do they just want to do a paper anyway? Is that what really the proponent is and one of our representatives is pushing for?
Senator Albritton, the bill that he usually introduces, or at least this quadrennium has, is a comprehensive bill, mainly because to be able to get the votes in order to pass a lottery bill, you have to have a lot of different folks on board. And there's some folks, especially in that northwest corner of the state, you know, it's Sand Mountain territory up there. It's Snake Handling Church territory. You got a lot of folks that are against lotteries in general. So they're an automatic no vote. Some of it, you got to have Democratic votes to pass. And in exchange for their votes to pass it, the Democrats want to expand Medicaid in this state. And that's a lot of money that you're going to have to continue to fund and fund and fund just to keep it at the level they would want to keep it at. And, you know, that usually mucks the whole thing up because there's a lot of Republicans who, fiscal conservatism, you don't want to keep pouring money and money and money into that hole when it's already a huge part of our general fund budget.
Right. That's got to be very frustrating trying to please and negotiate and deal with everyone. Is there anything pending that looks to be a positive income and a positive for the residents of Baldwin County and Alabama?
Well, you know, they're going to start to meet and work on how they're splitting up that ARPA money. That's the American... can't remember if the R is Rescue or Relief Plan. It's the COVID money that the federal government passed and is giving to the states to use. And the governor in her State of the State address, I believe it was Tuesday night, mentioned a number of priorities that she had for that funding. Some of it was going toward water quality and water issues. So we're talking about a sewage stuff and just general water quality. That's a big issue for us down here. In fact, Representative Faust, I know, is working on a bill. I don't know if he's dropped it yet. It would basically be a version of, we have Strengthen Alabama Homes, which, you know, helps give everybody the good fortified roofs down here to help protect us from hurricanes and severe weather. This would be almost a version of that. Strengthen our septic tanks, replacing old and worn out septic tank units that are near bodies of water, you know, allowing people to apply into that program and get those septic tanks replaced to lessen the potential negative effects of those septic tanks leaking or failing and getting into our water supply down here. So
that sounds like a good idea.
You know, some money for that would be very helpful, and I'm sure some of that ARPA money would also be used for our sewer systems here and wastewater. We all know in Fairhope that continues to be a huge issue, so I'm sure some of that money will flow down here.
Well, the city of Fairhope is spending millions and millions and millions on that as we speak.
Well, and it's something that we're going to have to continue to spend millions and millions on to, you know, get us back up to speed and then keep up with the growth that's continuing to happen across this area. And another one of the governor's priorities that she mentioned was broadband access, giving more money to expanding broadband capabilities around the state. We all know there are still large swaths of Baldwin County, even around places like Fairhope, where you can't get good internet, and these days you've got to have internet in order to be able to live and work and do everything you need to do. You got to have that good internet. So expanding those capabilities and bringing the good internet to people, I think that's certainly a very worthwhile cause.
Is there anything, I don't suppose there is, but it might be a silly question, anything our legislators can address or do about the funding for the Bayway for the I-10 bridge over Mobile Bay?
You know, that continues to be a major issue. And I know Senator Elliott is on the Joint Transportation Committee for ALDOT. I believe Representative Baker is as well. They have continued to advocate for that. I think the key to that is going to be trying to get more federal commitment, more federal money on that. And all of our delegation members have been working with Congressman Carl's office, with Senator Shelby, with Senator Tuberville, who are up there trying to advocate that case. And while we still got Senator Shelby up there in Washington as the ranking member on appropriations, which is the committee that money flows through, you know, we've just got to continue to do everything we can to put that pressure and let folks up there in D.C. know how vital this is, because this isn't just a regional issue for Baldwin and Mobile. That's a bottleneck for I-10 and all the commercial traffic and all the truckers that come through there. It's a federal issue, and there needs to be more federal dollars.
I was really glad to see one of the lawmakers say that. I've been saying it for a couple of years now. Why? And a couple of our congressmen have said, well, that's a state funding issue. No, it's not. We really need the federal funding, and since the Biden administration is throwing away gazillions of dollars, why not? They've got it for
us. Well, I mean, you know, hey, that's a good thing about having Democrats in power. Federal money tends to go out. A lot more federal money tends to go out. So if they're going to be giving the money out, let's get it down here. Let's bring it to where it's needed, and let's get those dollars to get this thing done.
We're speaking with Cliff McCollum from the Baldwin County Legislative Delegation. Anything else that you want to mention, Cliff, before we wrap it up?
Well, there is one thing I wanted to mention, and it came out last Friday, and I think it's something worth mentioning. The dean of our delegation, that's Representative Steve McMillan, whose district has at one point in time was most of Baldwin County and is now a South Baldwin district, but he's been there for 42 years. He announced last week that he has been diagnosed. He's got three tumors, small tumors in his brain. It is treatable, and he is getting his treatment, and he's moving forward, and he's going to knock that stuff out. But he did announce that this week, and so I would be remiss in my duties if I didn't ask the listeners, ask you, and remind myself to keep him in your thoughts and prayers as he goes through this treatment and his recovery. But, you know, true to form, Steve McMillan will be back at his desk and doing what he's done for us for 42 years. Now, the man's been in the legislature longer than I've been alive, and because he worked so hard for Baldwin County and for the state of Alabama, he's going to be back as soon as he's able, and maybe even before, because I know he's chomping at the bit, ready to go.
He will be in our thoughts and prayers.
He'll be serving us.
That's Representative Steve McMillan. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, he will be in our thoughts and prayers. Thank you, Cliff. I look forward to you getting well and coming back. You normally join us for Swap Shop, where we drop all the serious stuff and just laugh and have fun. So we'll have to get you back in here as soon as you're feeling up to it.
And you know I will be. I love my Swap Shop, especially. I haven't seen my neighbor Tina yet this morning, but I know she's always a constant caller, and it's just always a fun time with y'all. So I apologize for not being able to be there in person.
Thank you. We'll miss you. All right. Bye-bye.